Do not listen to this show. The truth can be scary. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I shake hands, I hug people, I grab men and women by the shoulders and say, you can do this. And scores, if not hundreds of people have come up to me and reached out for solace and comfort, something, anything that may help them get through the tragedy they're going through. I've always thought about connecting with people. As I said, shaking hands, hands on the shoulder, a hug, encouragement. And now it's all about taking selfies together. Social norms have begun to change, they've shifted, and the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it. I hear what they're saying. I understand it. And I'll be much more mindful.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show on a Wednesday. Hope you're doing well. That was Biden. He wants to really connect with you. Really connect and really encourage you. In fact, it wasn't about selfies, Joe. No selfies. In fact, it was really about standing behind somebody and awkwardly petting them and smelling their hair and just being plain strange. A reset? No. A reset on personal space. I was laughing at that comment because I thought, you've got to be kidding me, right? This is how he's explaining it. But you know what? It's all a distraction, isn't it? It's a distraction from what actually Joe Biden stands for and believes in. And also, it's just a distraction. It's an easy distraction, too, because you can debate his creepiness on levels that are beyond my comprehension. But at the same time, recognizing that, oh, yeah, this is all a distraction from what really people need to know and understand. So this show today is dedicated to that primarily. Melissa's out. She's on vacation. And I'm going to be tackling this subject, and there's a lot to it. So I'll get rolling. My mind has been on a suicide lately with some things I've been reading and looking at, and something that always kind of bothered me. We have a lot of military suicides, right? And we have in huge numbers. We're not even technically at war, and sometimes I don't think we think of it in those terms. Those that went into battle, like even if you want to say World War II, they went in for a short time, they came out, right? And of course, they had PTSD and dealt with all kinds of things, and we were in an actual war. Now we're in sort of these military actions, if you will, that last for decades and decades and decades. And so we have more soldiers than ever committing suicide. We have more problems with this and a rise in this. And one thing that sort of got me and surprised me was they were saying one in four is on medication in the military, and also basically one in four active duty members showed signs of a mental health condition. And I'm thinking, has that always been the case? Did they lessen the standard of that definition to be more inclusive of just anything you're going through, whether it's anxiety or anything that you happen to be going through? Or is this a case of, are truly one in four truly having a serious mental health condition? Because we have a lot of people in the military on medication and for these things. So that was something to look at. And it got me down this rabbit hole of looking at anthrax and of looking at some of these things, because there's so much to that. And I'll get to that in just a second, because the fact that we have an anthrax vaccine is very strange. And I want to get to that. So let me just get rolling here. In 2004, one in eight returning soldiers suffered from PTSD. Okay. And one in eight. And that was in 2004. And then if you go up to, I think it was 2017, they lifted the waivers for recruits with some history of mental health issues. But then it went into one in four adults. And so it was kind of if you really look at the last just over the decades, it's kind of interesting how rates have risen in these types of things. And I was looking at this, which actually sort of shocked me. And that was that Canada had a high incidence of PTSD, right? And they studied 24 countries, and Canada registered pretty high. And the same study found that Canada had a high prevalence of PTSD in the 24 countries, right? And this is, so what was interesting about this was that there had been a lawsuit that was presented on the anthrax vaccine, which started back in the 90s. And they actually went to court. And when they went to court, it was proven in court that they had an unsafe batch of anthrax given to these soldiers up in Canada, and it came from the United States. It was a bad batch, they said. And they were actually able to prove that in court. Because one of the gentlemen that was forced to take that, who didn't want to take it, and of course forced to, in Canada, sued because of the effects of what happened to him afterwards. And so they went to court, and they had enough information where they could say the batch coming from the United States, something was very wrong with it. And it made me, of course, just like you would be, sitting there going, now something's very, very wrong here. Canada's top military judge has stayed a charge of insubordination against a former Air Force sergeant who refused a dose of anthrax. And it went all the way through, and this was the outcome, was they were able to prove in court something was very wrong with what they were forced to do. We have been, I think those subject in the military have been used as guinea pigs for quite a while. And I think the realization of that, even if you step back and you say, well, how and why does that even happen? How and why? Why when you decide to fight for this country, in the defense of this country, why then are you forced into some serious actions of being a guinea pig, or having to take something, or not being able to, you know, say what you want in your body or not? Why do your God-given constitutional, if you want to say that, I know that phrase is kind of strange, but God-given rights, why are they stripped from you just because you decide to defend your country? That's never made sense to me. Although, after the fact, reports always come out, oh yes, this group of people in the 50s, this group of people in the 60s, yes, they were used as guinea pigs, and they just happened to be active duty. I have a lot of active duty in my family. And so, you know, we go military all the way back, Navy. And I'm telling you, it's disturbing. It's disturbing on a lot of levels. And so when this Canada case went through, the pretrial evidence, they said that on the basis of the information they received from the United States, that the anthrax vaccine was safe, they actually proved it wasn't. And so what is going on? What is going on? Health Canada gave special approval for the military to use that controversial vaccine. There's a reason it's controversial. There's a reason that there's a lot to this, and that we should be looking at why we're doing it. And so from the VA themselves, before I get there, let me say this. I want you to really take a step back and look at anthrax in this country. Okay? The military takes on this anthrax vaccine, right? When was the last case of military being subjected to anthrax by an enemy, if you will? We'll call it an enemy, right? Somebody that we are in a military action with, if you want to even say that, around the globe. There hasn't been. And I want to make that perfectly clear. There hasn't been. They have done that on the threat of anthrax, not actual anthrax threat to our military. Yet the soldiers are subject to having to take this into their body, right? And so that is strange to me. That is so strange to me. We had one case in 2001, right after 9/11, there was the first case of inhalation anthrax. Sent in letters, right? Y'all remember this. This was right after 9/11, and there was 11 confirmed cases of inhalation and anthrax, and 11 confirmed cases of cutaneous anthrax. Sent by letter form. Who did that? Who did that? And boy, does that get into the level of corruption and intrigue to say who, I think, actually sent those letters. But that was the only case. So we've been doing this since 1990, right? This got passed under Bush, under the Gulf Stream war. So we're talking about from 1990 okay? Subjecting all of our soldiers to this, even though we've never really had that happen. How does that even, how does that happen? How do we become, how do we get that passed in America to make soldiers take something for a threat, not an actual anything has ever happened in the way that they'd be taking something like that for? Boy, does it get weird. So this form of protection, they call it this anthrax vaccine, right? The anthrax vaccine, they said, provides a, this is from the VA, provides a very high level of protection against infection by the anthrax bacteria. The anthrax vaccine used in the United States, licensed in 1970, does not contain, you know, B anthrax cells, and it does not cause anthrax. When full immunization is combined with proper use of protective masks, detection devices, surveillance, post-exposure antibiotics, the threat of anthrax disease is substantially reduced. But they still couldn't say that there's been an actual attack or that the military had to go through something where most of the military was having some sort of something happen to them through anthrax. And so then they, based on human and animal data, this is what the VA says, the National Academy of Sciences Institute of Medicine concluded in April 2002 that the anthrax vaccine is an effective vaccine for the protection of humans. And then they put out this in October 2004. Review of over 700,000 active duty service members discharge rates from service throws anthrax showed anthrax vaccine does not increase risk of disability. Okay, so following that along, I was thinking, does it have anything to do with what's going on? Because there's a lot of soldiers that speak out and try to do so anonymously that are saying, I am having lots of symptoms. I'm having all these things happen. They call it the Gulf War syndrome. And so it's something to take a look at. So in October 2004, at the very moment they were saying that it didn't increase the risk of disability, the exact same month, following a suit filed by several unnamed service members, the U.S. District Court of Washington, D.C. placed an injunction against the DOD's mandatory anthrax vaccination program on October 27, 2004. Well, that's strange. That's contradictory, isn't it? You're putting out a report saying it does nothing, and then you're putting out an injunction. And then an injunction happens, same exact month. I'll be right back. This rabbit hole gets pretty deep, by the way. Just warning you. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
There you go.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I'm talking about just as I was researching and looking at some of the things that we're making our soldiers do, it bothered me because we're seeing, is there correlations? We're seeing a lot of PTSD. We're seeing a lot of symptoms. We're seeing a lot of suicides, all kinds of things. And we're also seeing an increase in what we make the soldiers take in as far as into their body that haven't been tested, don't know what the long-term effects are. And that strikes me as a pretty big problem in America. And why are they being guinea pigged like this? And that's the only way I can look at it. Welcome back to the show. You can email me, Kate, at katedalyradio.com, and you can go there for the SoundClouds, too. You might want to share this, make people very aware. So at the same time in 2004, they said over 700,000 active duty service members showed that the anthrax vaccine that they were giving them did not increase their risk of disability. But the same month, October 27, 2004, several unnamed service members, the U.S. District Court of Washington, D.C., placed an injunction on the Department of Defense mandatory anthrax a vaccine program. And the DOD immediately issued orders to comply with the court decisions, stopping anthrax vaccinations for all personnel that day, pending resolution of all legal issues. And the DOD then sought an emergency youth authorization for those military personnel at high risk for exposure. I also want to say this, that the only explanation for getting an anthrax vaccine from the VA, they'll tell you on their own website, on their own paperwork, after they tell the troops how they can be exposed in combat, it's just you can be exposed. We haven't ever really had that, but you can be exposed. And it talks about animal hides, and it's in the paperwork. There's no common sense reasoning as to why the soldiers are having to do this. They're saying it's a serious disease that can affect animals and humans. And it's caused by bacteria, right? And people can get anthrax from contact with infected animals, wool, meat, hides. The anthrax disease occurs in three forms, right? And they talk all about this from Forbes. From Forbes magazine came out and talked about military bungling causing the only anthrax threat. So we're going to get into the only anthrax threat we ever had, where the letter sent right after 9/11, that 22 people were exposed to this through letters that were sent. But I think there's reasons for this. And they talk about it in a way that even says, and what they were pointing to in Forbes was, hey, in the military, in the U.S. military, they ship these live anthrax spores to 18 different labs in 9 states. Is the bungling happening because of that? So that's what they pointed to. They said, basically, is it causing their own problem because they're sending this and it can get out and it can, you know, have some things happen? And they were saying it was a huge embarrassment, right? That we're not working with our bioterrorism preparedness because we're creating these things in the labs and we're shipping them. And yes, people can get a hold of those things and they can be used. But I actually don't think they really pointed to the thing that was more the truth. That's what I think. So there's no actual threat of anthrax, yet all of our soldiers are subject to this, and they call it the Gulf War syndrome because it started in 90 and under Senior Bush. And so this is kind of interesting, but according to the CDC, anthrax is a high-risk bioterrorism threat because of its ease of dispersal. If it was so easy, why isn't it being used, right? You would have that question, right? And in 2001, powdered anthrax spores were deliberately put into letters and mailed to the U.S. Postal System. 22 people were affected. So the from the government health website, an offsite contractor was used to fill these anthrax vaccinations. And it says off-site contractor, never says who, never says how, just an off-site person. In fact, on their own paperwork, it doesn't even mention the company, because the other production plant was renovating. And this was right about that time when all those letters were sent. And it's right about the same time that the only thing that ever happened in anthrax came in the mail. But they still wouldn't name the off-site place that it was being done at. The anthrax was actually being used. And so regulations allowed the DOD to provide extraordinary relief to Bioport Corporation. Bioport, remember that name, Bioport Corporation, during 1999, in spite of significant risks. So between 98 and 2002, the DOD pumped over $130 million into one company called Bioport in hopes that they were stockpiling enough anthrax vaccines for all 2.4 million U.S. soldiers and reservists. And the Pentagon continued paying Bioport even after the company repeatedly failed FDA inspections and was prohibited from shipping any vaccine. They were still paying them. They were still giving them money. And it was the sole provider, Bioport was. And you won't believe, like, who's in Bioport. But let me say this. Soldiers started getting really upset about the experimentation in 2003. And so more and more stuff has come to light about this and about its symptoms and about the people that are saying, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe what happened to me because of this. And so the thousands of Gulf War veterans were poisoned by depleted uranium, the same Bioport vaccine under George H.W. Bush and later under Bill Clinton. In October 2003, $80 million tax dollars were spent in ordering Vaxgen, Inc. to develop this experimental anthrax vaccine. So they were sort of the precursor to BioPort. So $71 million contracted for 3 million doses of this, even though at the time the letters hadn't happened yet. This was clear back under George H.W. Bush, and it was just a threat. It was just a what they were calling a threat. Nothing had happened in the way of anthrax. But all of a sudden, $80 million and then $71 million are all being put into this new anthrax vaccine that they're making them have before they go into the, you know, the Gulf War. And basically all soldiers were subject to this. So when within weeks of a court decision to cease mandatory vaccines, the FDA approved BioPort's vaccine as safe and effective. And Judge Emmett Sullivan, who ruled that the soldiers could not be used in experimental vaccination programs, issued a subsequent order allowing the Pentagon to resume mandatory vaccinations, a temporary boost for BioPort. Just days before his ruling, the Pentagon ordered $29 million order of anthrax from BioPort, part of a $245 million contract in anticipation of this reversal. So a long story short, what's very interesting about this is about the very time that the letters were sent was about the very time where Congress was sort of hesitant on giving BioPort this contract by issuing money because they had been deemed unsafe and they had been deemed, you know, they weren't passing FDA. And so Congress, as they were starting to get involved with this, were really hesitant on making them the sole provider, like a 10-year contract. At the exact same time the letters were sent to call for a need for an immediate anthrax threat. Do you find that a little coincidental that it happened at the exact same time? Right after 9/11, when everybody's very, very scared about terrorism? BioPort secures this, and they won a $122 million contract with HHS. So this is kind of, I know, it's strange, isn't it? Anthrax vaccines were actually used in animals and first developed in 1881. Work on vaccines suitable for humans gained some urgency in the 1940s, but still, it was still just a biological, you know, it was to be used as a biological warfare agent, actually. And so the actual vaccine itself was developed clear back in the 50s when they were doing a lot of testing and a lot of guinea pigging. And that was developed by the Army Chemical Corps. And it was produced by a pharmaceutical company under contract with the Army. The current vaccine, anthrax vaccine adsorbed, AVA, which, you know, differed minimally from the original preparation, actually, to be used in war, was licensed in 1970 and then recommended for use by workers with occupational risk of exposure to vaccines. Veterinarians, for instance, okay? So in 1990, concerns that Iraq had biological weapons containing anthrax spores really kind of motivated the military to administer AVA to 150,000 or more service members deployed for the Gulf War. Many of them experienced symptoms, similar symptoms, that certainly should have brought a lot of attention to this, certainly should have said, hey, this really wasn't tested, this really wasn't something that they should be getting because there was an immediate threat. But there you go. So they had a limited supply of that, and then BioPort captured the big contract that they use today. And I have to say, looking back at this, it is very interesting who is at the head of this. Fuad El-Hibri is one of the heads of this. And actually, it's kind of interesting, too, that some of the people involved in this, like that got this through, that got BioPort through, they're not from this country, okay? They actually had a Joint Chiefs of Staff Admiral William J. Crow, right? They basically had him on to convince the Pentagon that they should get this contract of anthrax. Because you got to know who's in charge of doing this, you know, basically working with this and then getting this administered to soldiers under mandate. You've got to know who's in charge, especially when they're not even from the United States. Okay. So I'll talk about that coming up in the next segment. But what I find kind of interesting is all the timing. Okay, the timing of the letters and the timing that BioPort, they were hesitant on continuing the funding and funding them. They pull in this admiral, and the admiral vouches for him, and the admiral is saying, "Oh yeah, it's a threat. You got to get you emergency. We got it. We got to do this." And he's part of the one that's basically making a profit off of this anthrax vaccine. It's a pretty dangerous vaccine. So you have all of these different people involved in this, and I'll talk about that for just a second next, because it is very, very interesting as you get into East-West Resources Corporation, very large corporation that these same people are a part of. They're also a part of Bioport, who supplies this, and we're not getting rid of it anytime soon. If you go on to different military blogs, there's a lot of soldiers that are really complaining about side effects right now and why they have to be subject to this. Is it causing some of the symptoms we're seeing that have risen in the last decade or two? Is it causing, the symptoms themselves, or is it causing depression? Is it causing suicidal thoughts? Is it causing these things? Because that's what I went in. When I went in to look at this story and to do some homework on this, that was my hunch, was that is something that we're taking, that they're taking into their bodies, causing this. Now, I know being subjected to tour after tour after tour after tour is a huge component as well. Probably the majority of the component, who knows? Because that's not usual. To put somebody in that situation, that many tours, is going to have an effect on you. It's going to be very hard to deal with. So given that, could there be another component involved, was my question. And that's when I went down this rabbit hole, was really looking at why we're even giving this, because they still can't justify it to this day. They still cannot justify it. And who's behind some of this money and some of these individuals? InQtel pops up. What is InQtel? Funding arm of the CIA? It's just all convoluted, very strange. And I'll get back to who owns Bioport in just a moment, because it's weird. The connections are strange. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Stuckey Family Pharmacy wants to be your partner in... Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Men who fight by night and day. Courage take from the Green Beret.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Talking just a little bit about, I was thinking about anthrax, why we give it to our soldiers, why we make them take it, the effects they're having. We have rises in all kinds of things. We're not even technically at war, and we have a rise in PTSD that's out of this world. We also have suicide rates that are high. What else is causing this besides multiple tours, right? What else could there be anything else that's contributing factor? And there have been doctors that have come out that have said, yeah, this very, very much could be something that's related. In fact, when you look at anthrax and how they got the contract and who's behind it, it almost reads like a thriller. So I want to turn the attention, because you always have to say, okay, who's producing this, and how did they do this, and why did our country go to people outside of this country that own corporations over here now? Why are they allowed to do something that's going into our soldiers' bodies, right? They don't get a say in it. And they've been doing this since 1990, and there have been a lot of problems along the way that they don't really account for. They just keep going, oh, yeah, it's safe, it's fine. But there are soldiers certainly having symptoms of all kinds of things. They call it the Gulf War syndrome. So why? So it's kind of like a thriller. The owner of this is a kind of a mysterious Lebanese millionaire who already owns telecom companies, right, in Venezuela and El Salvador. And he used his influence to take over as the sole manufacturer, production, distribution, of one of America's most sought after defense products. So this is strange, because it was the largest contract ever given like this. And so at the same time, the world's most wanted terrorist at the time, right? And we could do a whole 9/11 show, but okay. Terrorist appears to be profiting from his family's investment in the same self-manufacturing process, assisted by maybe President of the United States. Kind of interesting, right? At the time. And so you have a company called Bioport, and Bioport is the sole manufacturer of this anthrax vaccine. And they were found in the possession of the Al-Qaeda, right, in Afghanistan. And so there were documents. There were documents belonging to the United States company, Bioport, in the possession of Al-Qaeda. 7 weeks later, January 16, the United States Food and Drug Administration, since 1999, prohibited Bioport from manufacturing and the production of this in its Michigan laboratories, and announced that they had given this conditional approval for Bioport. When Congress hesitated on giving them funding, all of a sudden letters went through the mail and people were affected by anthrax, even giving more reason why we should do this, even though there had never been an actual attack on our military with anthrax. They still wanted to give this vaccine. So Bioport doesn't even make the vaccine. It's a whole nother production company, but they're the ones that control it. And so these multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar programs, Bioport becomes the sole person. But there's ties to Osama bin Laden and his family, the Carlyle Group. I mean, this goes pretty deep. It goes real deep, in fact. Something I don't even think we'll have time on the show to even go into, all the avenues of this spaghetti bowl. And so the El-Hibri family, kind of an interesting family. And they're the owners of this, right? And so we had, after the attacks of, you know, 9/11, like I mentioned, all of a sudden we had letters that were going through the mail, just quite coincidentally, that set up Bioport's urgent need then to have the Pentagon rush through the money to make sure that they became and contract in writing. So it's like decade after decade that they are the sole producer of this. So there were reports in the U.S. media, and it was denied by Bioport, had suggested that one major investor in the company is the Carlyle Group, one of America's most successful investment companies at the time, well known for generating extraordinary returns for its customers, right, in the U.S. defense industry. So because the Carlyle Group remained privately held, it wasn't really required to disclose details of its investments or business activities and its impressive sort of sorted of board members. Former President George Bush Sr. and UK Prime Minister John Major at the time were directors of the Carlyle Group. And there was a lot of people in there. Baker was in there, and Director Frank Carlucci, a lot of people. And so this is kind of an interesting part of the story. But according to the media at the time, major investor of Carlyle Group was the Bin Laden family. And so for many years, the Carlyle Group had maintained financial ties with the family of Osama bin Laden. And so those links were supposedly severed after 9/11. And it was agreed that the relationship was becoming a tad bit embarrassing for everybody concerned. It's always interesting how they buddy-buddy, and then all of a sudden it's this kind of situation, kind of strange. So there's a lot of links there with the Carlyle Group and the funding and the owner of Bioport and where they came from and so forth. And we could get into all that. We'd probably end up in the weeds quite a bit. It has to do with Saudi Arabia. It has to do with all of these connections of people profiting at the time off of this. And so there were rumors about the Carlyle Group investment into Bioport. They just happened to end up the sole provider of anthrax. It's kind of strange. But it's, quite possibly the bin Laden family at the time is what they were saying, an investor in the only company able to make anthrax vaccine in the United States. And because of their beloved, Osama might have some of the stuff, the family could make a fortune. So, in fact, the shortage of vaccine created now at the time, after the FDA ban on it was withdrawn, they could make a lot of money, a very cozy relationship with a lot of these different people. And so when you look at who's in this, the admiral that they used to get to the Pentagon to get the funding, Council of Foreign Relations, right? And long history. He was more than willing to pony up the this must happen because the military is at risk 24/7 of anthrax. Even though it's never happened, we're at risk. Push it through. He was a big catalyst to them in getting that through. And all these same people involved in East West Resource Corporation, which owns a lot of land and a lot of mining and a lot of oil resources all over the world. Go down that rabbit hole, and it's 10 miles deep as well. I'll take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes. My hat says chemical nuke and biological warfare. I served 3 years at Dugway Proving Ground in Alaska, mm-hmm. Fort Greeley, and am quite informed about this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And when the anthrax letters were going around the country, my wife and I read a book, and we went and to the feed store
mm-hmm.
and bought anthrax vaccine
mm-hmm.
that they use in sheep and cattle.
Right.
Injected it subcutaneously. No reproduction, and as far as we knew, we had full coverage from vaccine anthrax.
Mm-hmm. You weren't affected by anthrax, but you were just taking it as a precaution?
Yes, and mm-hmm. ex-military, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The United States Army and all armed services are mm-hmm. actually for-profit corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And would you go to Costco or would you go to Walmart
mm-hmm.
and let them shoot you up at the door?
No.
No, okay?
No. Mm-hmm.
And so the same kind of thing is going on, and especially when there's no loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bullet will hit you, but do they give you a vaccine for the bullet?
Mm-hmm.
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 And when we were going through our training, they said, if you were to be exposed to chemical warfare, put your poncho on, get in your foxhole, cover up with your gas mask on,
mm-hmm.
do the same for nuclear weapons, only dig the foxhole deeper, and if
right.
you're to use a biological agent, bend over and kiss your rear goodbye.
Right. Well, I thank you for calling up. I do. Thank you so much. Yeah. This is so, I can't even tell you the load of notes I have on this that I'm not doing justice to by far. So was my hunch right? Was I right? Was I thinking that it was causing a lot of these symptoms? Because a lot of people out there are trying to discuss this, but of course, you know, they have a hard time. They almost have to do it anonymously, right? There was an article, Green Med Info, that put out, you know, could depression be unrecognized side effect of this? And they were talking about Gulf War syndrome in particular, and that the U.S. forces received experimental drugs, different battery of vaccines, including anthrax and botulinum toxoid vaccine. And no previous deployment in U.S. history had involved vaccination of large numbers of soldiers against biological agents, but here we are. And so the Gulf War illness, shortly after their service in the Gulf War in 1990 to 91, when they started this mandatory vaccine, returning American soldiers and civilian workers were reporting that they were suffering from debilitating symptoms such as severe fatigue, joint and nerve pain, headaches, memory loss, gastrointestinal, insomnia, neurological disorders, all kinds of stuff. And that they had this chronic multi-symptom illness, known as Gulf War syndrome. So by 2014, a report had come out, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs concluded that Gulf War illness had been consistently reported in all studies of the health in Gulf War veterans. And the syndrome itself had been documented to affect about 25 to 30% of Gulf War veterans. That's an awful lot of sickness, don't you think? Which was about 250,000. That's a whole lot of people that are feeling very, very ill from this, yet they didn't stop it. Isn't that amazing? This argument goes on. And what's very interesting about this, they use it's like they call it an off-label use of anthrax vaccine. But the complaints even now, a lot of soldiers that got back from Iraq, a lot of soldiers that were in Afghanistan are saying, wow, we're having all of these exact same symptoms. We must have Gulf War II because it's the same exact symptoms. Why are we having to endure this? Why are we having to, go through this to this day? And they will not stop it, by the way. Won't stop it at all. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, in addition to the vaccines, you have to remember the Gulf War was the first use of depleted uranium rounds.
Yes.
They were in the 30-millimeter rounds that are fired by the A-10,
mm-hmm.
and they're also in the penetrators that are used in the tank weapons.
Right.
Anti-tank weapons. And those depleted uranium rounds have heavy metals that can linger in the body for a long time and cause all kinds of debilitating things.
Mm-hmm. That's true. At the same time, so what do you do? What do you do when you still have all of these soldiers right now going through the exact same symptoms comparatively to what they did in all the way through from 1990?
Same thing that they did in Vietnam about Agent Orange. You deny,
mm-hmm.
deny, deny,
yep.
until you have to pay something because guys are dying.
Exactly. Thank you. Love the phone call. Thank you so much. Yeah. And so I think when you go down this particular story and you start looking at all of the people that are having such a tough time, that actually, and here's the caveat, were never shot, right? Never even exposed to what the caller just talked about, yet having all these symptoms, then you probably could maybe dial in that it was something else, right? And so a lot of these soldiers are saying, look, I'm a Gulf War veteran, and I had to take that anthrax vaccine, and it's like four of the six shots. There's like a six-shot total that they give. Returning from Iraq, and I was diagnosed with asthma and bronchitis and hair loss, and I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. 14 years later, this person says, I still have unexplained troubles with body and health because of anthrax and all kinds of things. People were talking about depression. People were talking about these things and saying, I was never exposed to the uranium. But I have this, and they're still forcing this particular vaccine. The people that are running it with ties to, and they, of course, denied with Bioport, these people are House of Saud. We have Lebanese. We have from the Middle East, primarily. All ties with Al-Qaeda, all ties with all of these different people that popped up with InQtel funding, with CIA, with Carlyle Group, heavily owned by, run by the Bushes. We have all of these different things involved in the backdrop of a company like that. Yet, they still get the sole contract. Wow. They still get the sole contract, and it's still mandatory today, even though we're seeing a lot of health problems. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You only have 30 seconds.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, so glad that you were talking about this today, because when my husband went, he had a contraindication for the anthrax vaccine, and he got a doctor's note and everything, and they were still demanding that he take that vaccine or they would kick him out.
Mm.
So thankfully, we were able to bypass that, but it came down to, so when this soldier dies, who's responsible for it?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm glad you shared that. Thank you. Oh, I know. There's so much more to this story, too. And so many people still with so many issues. And it could it be causing some of the rise and all the numbers that we're seeing in relation to our troops coming home? And, I think somebody is extraordinary for putting their life on the line and signing up. What decisions are made behind the scenes in the industrial complex of this whole thing is a whole nother matter. But the guys that go out, why are we not protecting them more? And why are we okay with them being guinea pigs with us? That is not okay. What is happening to our armed forces with this? You should see the number of things they're taking in now as opposed to even 1990. It's scary. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.